let's go now to David Dolan, who covers the Middle East. And he's been doing that for a number of years, not for us, for CBS Radio. I mean, that's a prestigious organization for all types of different unique broadcast outlets, and we're thrilled when we can get a hold of David. David, much to talk about, this is a late breaking. I'm not sure if you're on top of it yet, but Amir Moussa, who is the head of the Arab League, said that in their meeting in Libya, it's going on as we speak, they're in the Middle East, that the Arab League must prepare for failure with the peace process. Now, you may not know about the story, but I'm sure you can react to the statement itself. This sounds like the Arab League is about to give up on Israel, and I don't think that Israel's been the problem, do you?
Well, no, and in fact, Jimmy, the White House and the Secretary of State, Clinton, had requested this Arab League meeting to endorse the resumption of the peace talks, the indirect peace talks, the U.S.-mediated talks that were planned and that Vice President Biden went to Israel to inaugurate. And, of course, it was a mid-level announcement from the Interior Ministry, not at all coordinated with the Prime Minister's office. He didn't know it was coming, about 1,600 new apartment units that was frankly blown way out of proportion by U.S. officials, seeing it as a personal slap, et cetera, which, of course, gave the Palestinians an excuse to stay away from the talks, which they're now doing. And if the Arab League formally endorses them staying away, well, this will be the exact opposite of what the Obama administration was trying to achieve. But frankly, Jimmy, I'll say it out loud. I don't think they have anyone to blame but themselves for just making this into such a huge issue. As Prime Minister Netanyahu pointed out in his meetings with Obama this week and in his speech before AIPAC last Tuesday, every Israeli leader, every Israeli government since 1967 has built in the eastern half of Jerusalem. This is the Jewish people's ancient and modern capital, and they're certainly going to live all around Jerusalem, period. And, you know, this is, if that is going to be a problem to the point that they can't hold peace talks, well, it's a new thing, because Yasser Arafat negotiated peace with the late Yitzhak Rabin and Shimon Peres and others while they were building still in parts of Jerusalem. And he did the same with the Netanyahu government, the first one, and then he did it with Ehud Barak and then with Ariel Sharon. And those fell apart because of violence. But the negotiations have been ongoing. And, of course, under the last administration in Israel, Ehud Olmert, there were peace talks. So if the Arab League takes that formal stand, that may well be the death of the peace process. And as all this is doing, Jimmy, is handing Israel to Iran on a silver platter. And the Arab leaders are going to regret that, because they all fear a nuclear-armed Iran as well. And if Iran can succeed, and I don't believe it will, but if it could succeed in getting rid of America's chief ally in the region, all the other pro-American governments or American-linked governments are going to be in big, big trouble, and it will explode into a real, like a regional war situation.
Let me go back to that statement you made that you said, I'm going to just say this publicly. What is wrong with the White House? Where are they getting their advice from? For the Middle East, they have no idea. They're doing the reverse. I agree with you 100%. They're doing the reverse from what they should be doing. I mean, they humiliated the Prime Minister of Israel, the President going upstairs, not even having a meal with him, goes upstairs and said, go talk with your people and get back to me while I'm having dinner or something. Seems ridiculous.
It does, and again, totally counterproductive. I mean, if he's trying to, calm the situation, and the thesis that they put forth is probably a valid one, and that is, if the Israeli-Palestinian conflict could be resolved, then tackling these other issues, Iran, et cetera, would be easier. Well, that's been the case for dozens of years. It hasn't been resolved because the Palestinians will only go so far. The Israelis have offered major concessions, and here is Prime Minister Netanyahu, a leader of the right-wing Likud party, last year saying he will support a two-state solution. He will support the establishment of a Palestinian state. But again, not right now, because the Palestinians are totally divided. Hamas is ruling a third of the Palestinian people because of their violent coup against the Palestinian Authority in June 2007. So until that issue is resolved, there's going to be no valid lasting peace on that issue. It's just not going to happen. So creating a crisis with Israel because they're building 1,600 apartment buildings a mile from the most sacred site on earth for the Jewish people is, yes, it just seems ridiculous and counterproductive, and more than that, could lead to a lot of lost lives, you know, could well be the spark for a major war, and, you know, this is not a remote prospect. It's a real prospect, and I guess the Arab League is just confirming that.
Well, it's so interesting to watch all this developing. I just returned from Jerusalem on Thursday morning. I know that Netanyahu came back from his meeting at the White House, gathered together his inner cabinet on Friday afternoon, and they said, hey, when they came out of the meeting, we haven't changed our policy. We're going to continue to build in Jerusalem. And, of course, as you say, because of the Obama administration, Tayyip Erdogan, who is the prime minister of Turkey, he goes to this Arab League meeting in Libya as a guest. He speaks about the fact that Israel and Jerusalem are unacceptable, what they're doing. The Iranians come out and say the Muslims must act over Jerusalem. Again, this is counterproductive for the Obama administration as it relates to the rest of the Arab world.
And also, Jimmy, you know, we have our first black American president in the United States, and that's a milestone. But as I've been pointing out for some years, this Palestinian position that in a final peace accord, all Jews must evacuate part of their ancient capital city and no Jews can be living in this Palestinian state. Well, if that isn't a racist position, I don't know what is. There's over a million Arab Israeli citizens that have lived in Israel for decades, that are full citizens and have the rights of citizens. Well, so the Israeli governments have all said, not just Netanyahu, some Jews are going to remain around Abraham's tomb and Joseph's tomb and certainly near the Temple Mount. This is their sacred, most sacred ground on earth. And I would think a black American president more than any could stand up and question this and say, look, this is a racist position you guys are espousing, and we in the United States, a multi-ethnic democracy with people from all over the world as part of our country, won't support that. That's the position that I think they should be taking. It would be courageous. The Palestinians wouldn't like it. But, gosh, even the Washington Post this week, which endorsed Obama, was heavily criticizing this tempest in a teacup that they've created, warning that it has grave consequences, as did the Wall Street Journal and other papers that are more right-wing. But he's just not listening.
He's certainly not listening, that's for sure. David, we've got about 30 seconds. Talk to me about the two holy days for the Christian and Jewish community coming together on Monday afternoon. The evening begins Passover, and of course, upcoming is Palm Sunday and then Easter next Sunday, gathering from Jews and Christians from around the world in Israel.
Well, that's right, and it's always a very special time, and I enjoy it very much. But of course, this year with the recent violence in Jerusalem and then clashes in the Gaza Strip on Friday, there will be heavy security, I'm sure, but there usually is, and normally it passes pretty peacefully, and hopefully that'll be the situation this year.
It is a special time as people gather around. I just love to be there at that time of the year. Sorry we just missed it, but I did get a taste of it because our hotel where we were staying at the Regency there went into the Passover mode early on, and we started eating the matzah. David, thank you so very much. I appreciate the opportunity to interact with you. The insight you give us is key for us to understand this region of the world, and we better keep a focus on this region of the world, had we not, David?
Well, that's right. We know Jerusalem's going to be a cup of trembling, and boy, it's becoming that.
That is absolute. That's Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 2. David Dolan, our special broadcast partner, who assists us each and every opportunity we can have with him to understand the events unfolding in Jerusalem, in Israel, in the entire Middle East. David, thank you so very much, my friend. Talk again soon.
You're welcome, Jimmy. God bless.